One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding round him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down in the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats, so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." For he and all of his companions were astonished at the sight of the fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him.
Context for our scripture today is that we have left the book of Acts, excuse me, and we have gone into the book of Luke, which we were studying before Pentecost. We're at the beginning still, and Jesus has healed Simon's mother-in-law from a fever in the chapter before, and that attracts a crowd to him. He's driven out an impure spirit, and that too attracts crowds. And the simple fact is, Jesus is attractive. Jesus attracts crowds. And that is as true today as it was way back then when he was on earth. They've heard him preach in the synagogue, and now he's out in the open. His pulpit is a boat. He would go to where people would listen to him. And he does go back into the synagogue, but more and more as we go through the Gospels, he's out there. He's in fields, he's in people's homes, he's by a lake. And this is a reminder that Jesus' ministry is not focused in the synagogue. He's in homes, fields, in workplaces, because today we see him by fishermen at the lake. And as well as that, the miracles happen. The miracles happen out in the mission field, not in the synagogue. So Jesus is not constrained by the synagogue, by the structure of the building, but rather he is out in the open, as I have chosen to be today as well, in the hope that I avoid the rain too. So let us not over-focus on our Sunday church gathering, and instead, you know, just keep working to think about ways that we can bring the kingdom into our homes, into our neighbourhoods, into our gardens, our patios, into our workplaces. Work within whatever restrictions we've got to just do what we can. So that's Jesus. Let's take a look at the fishermen. The fishermen in this, including Simon, have been grafting all night long, in the dark. They've been working under their own steam, and I am sure they're probably fairly weary. And not only that, they have nothing to show for it. Except presumably wearing themselves out. And so they come ashore, and they rest, they take a break, they listen to Jesus, they listen to him teach, and then it is at Jesus' invitation that they return to fish in daylight with Jesus. And now they experience the miracle. There are such large numbers of fish that their nets begin to break. The boat starts to sink and they need to call for the reinforcements. Fishing for people is what the disciples have been offered. And actually, that's the promise that Jesus makes to us too. Do not be afraid. I will make you fishers of men. There is no point There is no point in trying to fish under our own steam. In the dark, without Jesus, we will do no better than the fishermen did in today's story. It is best to rest while we can, to fix up our nets, to clean them, is what the story says, where the seaweed will have been removed from the netting. To spend time ashore at Jesus, learning from him, listening to him, waiting for his call to go back to the sea. And the time is coming when we will be called back into the streets of White Inch to advance the kingdom. And I want to honour the past. You know, White Inch is a church which is known throughout all of the Church of Scotland as a church family who love God, who love each other, and who love their neighbours. And that they pursue that calling. You have always done that, White Inch, and I am convinced and know that that will happen again in the future. And that indeed is where your heads, your minds are now. The last time we got together at the Sunday evening meeting, probably about a month ago now, you could probably best summarise as what do we feel uniquely called to was loving God, loving our neighbours and loving each other. And so that is the call on White Inch's life. It has been for the past 25 years and it is at the moment and it will be in the future. You continue to push into that call. You honour, and I love how you do that, you honour what has gone before, but yet you're not overshadowed by it, and you know that God will do something fresh, something different in the future. And that is because you stay close to Jesus. You listen for his voice, you listen for his call, and you are inspired by the Spirit. There's more to come. And actually, at this point, I just want to check in with you guys. Last week in Shona Sterling's sermon, that's at Pentecost, she actually spoke about, there was a prayer where we invited the Holy Spirit to come. And we were to posture ourselves, you know, for a fresh fire, for a fresh anointing by the Holy Spirit. And Shona invited you, encouraged you to share with the leadership team just how God had spoken to you in the midst of that or over the last week. And I want to remind you of that. If God has been speaking to you, if you have heard him, if you have sensed him in your life, if you feel a call to something let us know. It would be really encouraging to hear that. And it may be, you know, that actually you are the one who are going to tell us about one aspect of the more that is to come. This past week at the General Assembly, it's usually held in Edinburgh and it's been held more or less virtually. I think blended is the word. Some folk were in Edinburgh, most were in their homes on Zoom. And it's a chance for the church to discuss and to debate the issues that affect it. And there has been a range of debate through the week. But there was one thing that really took my attention when I saw it. And that was a talk given away at the beginning of the week by Martin Fair, the now ex-moderator of the church. And I want to share with you just a 5-minute snippet of a talk, and the talk's available online if anyone wants the full 9 minute. But I want to share that 5-minute snippet of just the vision that Martin has for the church and where all of the church see themselves going. And I hope that, as I was, that you will be encouraged by it. So let's hear just what Martin has to say.
Moderator, for as long as I am part of the Church of Scotland and have any kind of voice within it. I will call on it to announce and to be good news to the poor, liberty to the captives, sight to the blind. To be present with the downtrodden and the marginalised and the oppressed, and as Scripture has it, the least of these. Why? Because that's what Jesus was about. And I've no interest in being part of anything which isn't primarily focused on making real today that which Jesus set in motion. And what will all of that look like in practice? It will be what we call the mission of the church. And might I say, the much talked about five marks of that mission. Here are the last three of these. They're on my phone as a constant reminder. Number three, to respond to human need by loving service. Number four, to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind and pursue peace and reconciliation. And the fifth one, to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. And so, in practice, I say this. Until the last food bank in Scotland is closed because there is no longer any need, we have work to do. For as long as there are children growing up in Scotland whose life chances are at best compromised and at worst ruined because of their postcode, we have work to do. Until we can find more productive and humane and effective ways of dealing with those who break our laws, but in truth, are usually victims themselves, we've got work to do. And it goes on. For as long as there is planning for the detention of, even the increase in numbers of, nuclear warheads on our shores, there is work for us to do. For as long as many of our impoverished communities continue to be awash with drugs, and we Scots continue to have the worst drugs death stats in Europe, there is work for us to do. For as long as there are despairing people struggling with poor mental health, having to wait months and even years for suitable treatment, there is work for us to do. And among them, for as long as there are any who sense that darkness is their only friend, to quote the psalmist, and to resort to ending their lives, there is work for us to do. I know that both His Grace, the Lord High Commissioner, and the First Minister are with me on that. And for as long as we continue to pollute our rivers, poison our air, and fill holes in the ground with our waste, there is work for us to do. For as long as anti-Catholic, anti-Irish bile is spewed onto our streets by so-called football fans, there is work for us to do in this nation. Until every person in Scotland and in those places where the Church of Scotland is present is treated according to who they are and not by the colour of their skin and not by the place where they worship, there is work for us to do. For as long as people, predominantly young women, are trafficked into Scotland to work as sex slaves and in the off-the-books economy, there is work for us to do. And for as long as women of any age and from anywhere don't feel safe walking home at night, there is work for us to do. For as long as it's possible for someone seeking asylum, someone like Mercy Baguma, to die while supposedly in our care, there is work for us to do. For as long as there are lost souls sleeping rough in shop doorways, or families in dark, damp, substandard bed and breakfast style accommodation, there is work for us to do. And yes, though it be far off and over there, For as long as the skies over the Holy Lands are ripped open by another barrage of rockets and mortars, and the overwhelming superiority of attacks from the air, in some small way, yes, even for us, there is work for us to do. That's what it will look like, all of that and more, for us to give ourselves to the ways of the kingdom as set out by Jesus in his "Here's Why I'm Here" manifesto. And so for us too.
There's work to be done. As Martin says, there's work to be done. I want to give just highlight a couple of notices before I finish. And they'll both be in the weekly emails, but there was a notice about COP26, the climate conference being held in Glasgow, November 2021, brought over from last year, 2020's cancelled one. For those of you who consider yourself young, and I don't have a definition for that, but this is for young people. If climate change interests you, then I'm talking to you now. If you would like to get involved in climate justice and just discuss it with other like-minded young individuals from not just the Church of Scotland, but an ecumenical gathering, all different churches gathering to discuss it, let me know and we'll see what we can do. But there is a meeting coming up, I think it's the 9th of June, 7 p.m. It'll be a virtual meeting, it'll be on Zoom. I would love it if some of our young folk could get involved, and I'm happy to pull along with that as well. So that's one way. There is so much work. There is a never-ending amount of work to be done when it comes to climate justice. And if you feel that's something God's stirring your heart about, let me know. And the other thing is, maybe you're not so young, maybe you're a good bit older, there are ways you can get involved too, and one of those is if you have a spare room in your home, you can offer it to one of those attending the conference, the 1st to the 12th of November. And again, there's a link on our notices this week where you can just click on that and find out more. Or the other thing I wanted to say is that, again, I'm addressing this to the young people, but if you're in your 20s or 30s, I think that's quite a flexible term, young there, but Evangelical Alliance are running a 10-month course to equip emerging Christian leaders. If you feel that's something you'd like to be interested in, have a look at the weekly email there. There's more a place you can look. I think it's a website. You can look up to find out more from Evangelical Alliance. So there's a couple of things, but there's so much more we can do in our homes, with our neighbours, and even just looking after each other. I know we're still, well, as I record this, under slightly different restrictions, so we pray that will open up soon and Glasgow will be freer to be out and about. As we finish, we just say, let's unite. Let's unite as we love God, as we love each other, and as we love our neighbour. There is work to be done with Jesus. Let's do it together. Amen. I'm going.